Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
In pro boxing, one of our big stories this month was British fighter Anthony Joshua winning the IBF heavyweight title with a second-round knockout of American Charles Martin in London. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as Joshua says he'll focus on staying on top of the heavyweight division.
I want to maintain now. It's one thing getting there, and it's harder to stay there. And I think that sky's the limit, you know. I've done it so early on, so imagine what we can achieve in the next 5 to 10 years.
4 years ago, also in London, Anthony Joshua won the Olympic gold medal in the super heavyweight division. The muscular 26-year-old Joshua is only the second boxer in history after the late Smokin' Joe Frazier to win a professional world heavyweight title while still reigning as the Olympic champion at the top weight. The British fans in London cheered loudly for Joshua, who is of Nigerian descent, after he knocked down Martin twice with powerful right hands. But another British heavyweight champion, Tyson Fury, who holds several title belts, was not impressed with Joshua's performance. Fury wrote on Twitter, "So AJ gets a belt, looks slow, ponderous, and still look like a bodybuilder. Let me slay the lamb." Responding to the criticism, AJ had some advice for Tyson Fury.
Just focus on his own career, really. Get himself together. He's in a great place right now. He's champion of the world. We've got two heavyweight champions of the world in the UK right now. And we should be aiming to get a fight on one day and supporting each other, bringing the attention back to boxing. But instead, he's just bringing his attention direct at me, complaining about my physique, my this, my that. If he can do a better job, then maybe he should come join me in camp and help me. Regarding Tyson Fury, he's got his own date set, July 9th, with Klitschko. He's got a rematch. So let him get that out of the way. And I can't really predict his plans, but I think it'll happen within the next 12 months, because I said around 6 months ago it happened in 18 months. So I can't keep on adding time and time and time to these dates. So it's going to get closer and closer and closer, and I'd like to happen sometime before the year ends or early next year.
That's Anthony Joshua, the new International Boxing Federation heavyweight champion, talking about his timetable for fighting Tyson Fury. And let's not forget American Deontay Wilder, who is the reigning World Boxing Council heavyweight champion. Wilder will defend his crown May 21st when he takes on Russia's Alexander Povetkin in Moscow. For reaction to Anthony Joshua's knockout victory in London, we turn once again to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Before the fight, I said we needed a statement fight, and he delivered. You know, and I said, too, that he must finish this fight in an explosive way, which he delivered, and it was an explosive heavyweight. And I said before, there's nothing like seeing a heavyweight on the floor and the referee counted. Saturday night, the referee could have counted to 1,000. There was just Matthew would have still been on the floor.
Do you think AJ is the next great heavyweight, Namdi?
Sonny, the AJ is the grand poobah of boxing. This is one fighter that can deliver a knockout. After the fight, during the interview, on his left shoulder is a complete map of Africa. And in this map of Africa, spotlight there was a map of Nigeria, telling the whole world that he is African and also he's a Nigerian, a true Niger boy.
True Niger boy. And that true Niger boy, Namdi, I think only one of his fights has gone past three rounds. He's now unbeaten, 16-0. If you can take him into the later rounds, is he beatable?
Well, we can say in the later rounds, he will end up with a jello leg, you know, or a rubber leg, you know. He has no chin, you know. But do we really need to see him in the 7th, 8th round if he can take you out in the first 3 rounds? No, you know, we will never know. Tyson Fury, David Haye, they can scream all they want. They may end up on the floor in the first 3 rounds.
You mentioned Tyson Fury, Namdi, and he took to Twitter to criticize Anthony Joshua. He called him slow and ponderous, and it would be like a lamb being served for slaughter if he fought AJ. Your thoughts on that tweet by Fury?
Look at who is talking, Motomouth Tyson Fury. He's an ugly fighter. He has no style, you know. He's a wonky dude, bro. The only way we pay to see him fight because he has the belt. We tell the belt, Tyson Fury is nothing, you know. He can say all he wants about homeboy Anthony Joshua, man. And also, fight night, after the fight, Anthony Joshua ordered a pound of pounded yam on the goosey soup, you know. So with the pounded yam and a goosey soup, Tyson Fury has no way to hang on there till the 6th round.
Namdi, AJ has talked about a timetable for fighting Tyson Fury. He said he would love to fight him later in 2016, but if not then, early in 2017. Do you see a Fury-AJ fight taking place this year?
Well, Tyson Fury has to settle with Vladimir Klitschko. Klitschko may end up taking his title back from Tyson Fury. And that's happening July 9th in Manchester, in London, in the UK. The same night that Anthony Joshua will be heading to Wembley. Tyson Fury should shut up and get ready for July 9th with Klitschko, because we may not see AJ and Tyson Fury if Tyson Fury on the 9th of July cannot beat Vladimir Klitschko. He talks a lot and he just has to back it up in the ring. He's not a knockout puncher like AJ.
Namdi, let's not forget Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion. He'll fight next month in Moscow against Russia's Alexander Povetkin. Where does Wilder fit into this heavyweight jigsaw puzzle?
Sonny, ask yourself this question. How come the best heavyweight in America is fighting in Russia? He has $400 million backing him. It's a good chance Deontay Wilder may lose that fight to Povetkin. Povetkin's a good fighter. So this is the best heavyweight from the U.S. and going to Russia to fight. I don't know, man, because I like to see him keep his belt, because the big fight here in America is Deontay Wilder against Anthony Joshua, man. That will sell out the Grand Casino or the T-Mobile Arena. But him going into Russia to defend his title, it's a scary situation.
Speaking of sellouts, Namdi, the Martin Joshua fight sold out in 90 seconds, the O2 Arena. Why would Joshua fight anywhere but London? They seem to love him in the British capital.
Sonny, that is 20,000 people at the O2 Arena with millions of eyeballs. I mean, we watched this fight live in America in the afternoon, and it was rebroadcast in the evening. He is a huge star right now. Why will he come to America? Because he needs to develop pay-per-view. This is where the bread and butter is for a fighter. If you're a pay-per-view fighter, everybody, you will make tons of money. Go and look at Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. He can destroy all these guys in London, but you must come to the mecca of boxing, and the mecca of boxing is the U.S. And the deal there is for you to be able to fight on pay-per-view, which is possible for Anthony Joshua, but he has to come out of O2 Arena, come out of Wembley Stadium, do the T-Mobile Arena, do a Staples Center, and even do the Cowboy Stadium, and then we can pay $80, $120 to see him destroy guys, and that's going to happen.
Sounds like you're more excited about the big boys now, Namdi.
Sonny, I've been in this game for more than 30 years. If the division is dead, it's because the heavyweight division is dead. The heavyweight division brings excitement. If we have a fighter that can knock guys out, people pay to see blood. People pay to see a man on the floor. That was why during the days of Mike Tyson, you better be in front of your TV, because it may be over if you go looking for your beer in the fridge.
What about the experience factor, Namdi? AJ has only 16 professional fights. Is that going to hurt him down the road?
Well, his handlers will do the best thing for him. He has no need for, there's no need for him to fight a tiger right now. Pick up one of the guys in the top 15. put him in there with Anthony Joshua at the O2 Arena or Wembley Stadium. That will sell out. The TV will buy. He does not need Deontay Wilder now. He does not even need David Haye or Tyson Fury right now. Get him a couple of easy fights. People will buy it. And then wait for these guys to age a little bit, 2017, and then just put them in with Anthony Joshua and watch him destroy them.
Would he ever go to Lagos or Abuja and stage a championship fight?
Don't count out Nigeria, Sonny. No, our oil money is not bubbling like it used to. Our oil money will come back and bubble. And in the future, we can stage that fight at Abuja Stadium. You know? I'm talking as a Nigerian here, Sonny. It can happen.
I love it. All right, Namdi. Now let's go to South Sudan, where a wrestling tournament is being held this week to promote peace in Africa's newest country. Jason Patinkin reports from the capital, Juba.
With chests bare and leopard skins tied around their waists, 30 South Sudanese wrestlers marched into Juba Stadium. Traditional wrestling is hugely popular here. Four teams from different tribes will compete in the tournament to bring home prizes of cattle and national bragging rights. The tournament is also about showing that different South Sudanese tribes can bring peace after more than 2 years of war divided the country along ethnic lines. Peter Biarajak, CEO of South Sudan Wrestling Entertainment, which organized the event, said South Sudan's leaders have been too slow to end the civil war. He says it is time ordinary folks did so themselves through sport.
So we felt the people of South Sudan need peace, and we start mobilizing as young people from different tribes that we are going to host a wrestling tournament as our own way of bringing peace to South Sudan, a peace at grassroots level.
Ajak says the last wrestling tournament in Juba began on December 14th, 2013, one day before war broke out.
But it was very sad that people came to Juba to promote peace, to promote their culture, to promote peaceful coexistence, and then they were interrupted by conflict. So this morning I was very excited when we managed to start the tournament and to start the match, and I'm glad that this match has happened successfully and peacefully.
The Bor Dinka tribe defeated the Mundari after 15 rounds. The two tribes have a history of deadly conflict over pasture and cattle. Bor Dinka coach Chol Jock said bringing young men of the two tribes together to wrestle can prevent violence.
When we are wrestling with somebody, and then you go and dance with him, eat with him, this one will be your friend. And then you sit together and then you play everything with him. And then there's no fighting again.
Bor Dinka wrestler Manyak Mapel Luau said he felt happy to wrestle after so long.
You know, seeing the war break out in 2013, we are facing difficulties. And when we come to an end, we shall be happy. So we want to show to the people that we accepted the feast.
Jason Patinkin for VOA News, Juba.
Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In the National Basketball Association playoffs, the Atlanta Hawks and the San Antonio Spurs both scored easy victories at home Tuesday night to take 2-0 leads in their first-round series. The Hawks soared past the Boston Celtics 89-72, while the Spurs spanked the Memphis Grizzlies 94-68. Remember, VOA basketball fans, all of the series in the NBA playoffs are best-of-7 games, so the first team to win 4 games advances. In Atlanta, Al Horford and Kyle Korver scored 17 points apiece to lead the Hawks. Meanwhile, in San Antonio, Patty Mills scored 16 points for San Antonio, while 2016 NBA Defensive Player of the Year Kawhi Leonard added 13 points for the Spurs. And for those keeping score, Kawhi Leonard also was named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year in 2015. Meanwhile, for the third time in his career, Los Angeles Clippers guard Jamal Crawford has won the NBA's Sixth Man Award as the league's best reserve player. The 36-year-old Crawford also won the award in 2010 and 2014. Jamal is the first 3-time winner of the prize. Crawford received 51 first-place votes and 341 points from a panel of 130 sports writers and broadcasters here in the United States as well as Canada. Jamal Crawford averaged about 14 points a game this season, and he was second in the NBA in free throw percentage at 90.4%. Jamal Crawford, the first 3-time winner of the NBA's Sixth Man Award. Crawford and the Clippers will be back on the court later Wednesday night in Los Angeles, where they host the Portland Trailblazers in Game 2 of their first-round playoff series. The Clippers won Game 1, 115-95. In other games Wednesday night, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers host the Detroit Pistons, and the Miami Heat are at home against the Charlotte Hornets. The Cavaliers and the Heat both won the opening games in those two playoff series. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you as always.
Good to have you back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, trending today, some sad news. Dwayne Pearl Washington has died at the age of 52 of brain cancer. Now, he was an NBA player, but perhaps best known for his career at Syracuse University playing there. So there's lots of tributes pouring in on social media from a lot of fans, but also we're seeing, for example, St. John's coach Chris Mullins, who played at St. John's, played as during the same time as Pearl Washington was a competitor of his, and he had some very nice words. Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim as well, and the Miami Heat, because Pearl Washington went after he played at Syracuse, went on to play a bit for the Miami Heat, so they were putting out some tributes as well on social media.
Pearl Washington from Brooklyn, New York, and for our VOA basketball fans wondering, how did he get that nickname of Pearl? Well, his nickname came from his buddies growing up in Brooklyn. They said that Pearl's game reminded them, in terms of style, of NBA great Earl the Pearl Monroe. So that's pretty good company to be compared with Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, there was another tweet that somebody else sent out where you had a picture of Pearl Washington and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan when he was playing at UNC and Pearl Washington in Syracuse. So that was a nice tribute. And just a tweet I just saw now from Ben. He said, as a 7- and 8-year-old boy, Pearl Washington was my introduction to hoops. Syracuse men's basketball and the first player I wanted to be like. So a lot of those kind of touching moments that people are remembering, not just his play on the court, but really his role as kind of an inspiration for a lot of people.
You mentioned Jim Boeheim, Andrew, the Syracuse coach. That shows you his longevity. I remember talking about Boeheim with you during March Madness, the NCAA championship tournament. And here we are going back about 30 years, and he's crediting Pearl Washington with kind of being the foundation stone or a cornerstone for Syracuse basketball.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly for Syracuse, as we mentioned, for the fans as well, some of them growing up with him saying that they wanted to be like him during his college career, during his NBA career. So some very sad news, but very touching remembrances that we're seeing.
And one other quick note from Facebook. I was looking at some of the tributes for Pearl Washington, and there was one respondent who said she went to Syracuse and she remembers going to the Carrier Dome Arena where the Orange plays their home games. And she said she always remembers Pearl Washington shooting the basketball outside of practice, but, you know, always trying to hone his shot. But she added that he was always very friendly and always had some kind words to say to her as she watched him practice.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing, people saying he was a great athlete and a great person.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, we have Conor McGregor. Now, he is the Irish MMA mixed martial arts fighter, and he sent out a very bizarre tweet yesterday, and he said, "I have decided to retire young. Thanks for the cheese. Catch yous later."
Thanks for the cheese.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he means by that, but he's 27 years old, so he's very young. But, you know, mixed martial arts and the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, the brutal sports,
tough,
you know, bare knuckle fighting, and not just bare knuckle, you know, kicking and all that kind of stuff. People get bloodied up. So there's a lot of speculation, maybe, oh, he wanted to retire because he, you know, took a toll on his body, even though he was young. But now there's people saying, oh, well, maybe he's not retiring. Maybe he's coming back. It's a lot of confusion. But what isn't confusing is that his tweet where he announced his retirement in less than 24 hours, over 150,000 retweets. So that really speaks to his role as an international athlete. And, you know, someone who a lot of people are following on social media. But just this confusion about what's going to come next. They said that it might have to do with the UFC 200 fight. He was recently pulled from that. They said that this might be a response to that, or that might be linked to this somehow, that he said, well, if you're going to pull me, then I'm going to go ahead and retire and maybe just kind of throw a tantrum or something. But we're not entirely sure what the situation is. It's a developing one. But that's kind of the nice thing, is that on social media we're seeing this develop, and we're seeing him, you know, maybe respond to this. The last tweet that he sent out to his 1.5 million followers was this one about his retirement. He has been silent since, so we'll see if he goes back and tries to respond or what happens.
Now, McGregor's retirement announcement does come after a loss. Is that right?
That's true. Also, he lost in his last fight, so people are speculating maybe that's part of it too, but kind of came out of the blue, I think. It's no one expected him, you know, and usually, even though social media is such a powerful tool, especially, you know, in this day and age, even with these big announcements, you know, we have players go and do a press conference. They don't usually just say, oh, I'm retiring, on social media. But maybe this is the shift to maybe now, is, you know, he's the kind of person that would say, yeah, I don't want to do a big old press conference. I just want to tweet it out and be done with it.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I did retweet a tweet originally sent by Jamie Sandis. Jamie works for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he posted a video of Kobe Bryant granting the wishes of more than 200 Make-A-Wish kids, which was pretty inspirational, Andrew.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter, thanks for chatting with us again, Andrew.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the April 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Skip Sisk, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month marks the second anniversary of the kidnapping of more than 200 Nigerian girls from their school in Chibok by the terrorist group Boko Haram. These girls, between the ages of 16 and 18, were captured while at their boarding school. The United States again calls for the immediate release without preconditions of all hostages held by Boko Haram. Nigeria's military has succeeded in driving Boko Haram out of its strongholds, leaving it seriously weakened. Nevertheless, across northeastern Nigeria and in neighboring countries such as Cameroon and southern Niger, Boko Haram continues to wreak havoc. They relentlessly attack villages, murder countless individuals, and kidnap civilians, including women and girls, some of whom are subjected to forced labor and sex slavery through forced marriages to Boko Haram terrorists. Amnesty International reported that Boko Haram in 2015 and 2016 had abducted at least 2,000 women. According to a recently released UNICEF report, Boko Haram uses children to detonate bombs. Indeed, nearly one of every five such attacks carried out by the terrorist group last year used a child, and more than two-thirds of those were girls. The United States continues to assist the Nigerian government with intelligence and advisory support in an effort to locate and bring home all of those who have been kidnapped by Boko Haram. In the last 2 years, the United States has provided nearly $198 million in humanitarian assistance to the region to deliver conflict-affected populations with transitional assistance, counseling services, health programs, and emergency education for children displaced by violence. The United States continues to stand with the people of the Lake Chad Basin to combat the deadly scourge of Boko Haram.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. We'll discuss the 2016 World Bank IMF Spring Meetings. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there's the youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.